Before we get started, just a couple words. We are not having children's this morning, not just children's worship, but as you probably have discovered by the darkened classrooms, no nursery or preschool. And we're glad you didn't turn around and go home. But it's a couple weeks of this year, and yes, I'll go ahead and spill the beans. Next week will be the same way. We do enjoy our entire families being together for this Christmas season. I will go ahead and tell you that I attempt to give you a Christmas present this morning, a shortened sermon. Is that a laugh of, I know you're not able to do such? Is there a betting pool going on right now in the midst of our service? But because our families are together and speaking to family, I would like to also be selfish for a quick moment. Say my family's here, and so we've packed a row there. My brother and his family, Jacob and Brandy, and their three, soon to be four children. And my sister, who almost has a smile on her face over there. There we go. And her husband, Brian, and their two children. Of course, mom and dad. And so just as good to have the whole clan here. So anyway, just a little selfish plug there. But this morning, it is Christmas time, and so we're going to take a step away from the Gospel of Luke and from our journey through Luke. If you've been with us for any period of time, we've spent the past several months in Luke and have a long way to go. But this morning, I would like to not just step away from Luke for just for the purpose of that, but to address what is on everyone's mind. And no, not Duck Dynasty or Phil Robertson, but to talk about Christmas and this season that we celebrate, and that we will very specifically celebrate here in just a few days. How many days away, kids? It's Christmas? Apparently kids can't count. 3, 2, 4. Every day is Christmas, right? You're out of school. So I know Christmas is 3 days away this Wednesday. I don't know where I'm trying. We're going to 2 Corinthians. Thank you. We're going to 2 Corinthians in just a few moments, so you can go and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is where we'll start off this morning. But obviously Christmas is on our minds and our hearts, and you just can't avoid that. And so we'd just like to spend a few moments this morning talking about what is Christmas all about. What is it all about? And we know the reason for the season, right? Reason for the season is Jesus, and that is our this is the most prevalent time of the year that Jesus is the answer, right? What's the reason? It's Jesus. And we know, at least to some degree, it's about Jesus. But what is Christmas all about? A few things it's not about. I just kind of want to address some of these. It's not about pagan origins. And there is every year this time, especially with the advent of social media and everyone being able to have their rights, their opinions, you hear a lot of, can I say haters? Is that okay? There's a lot of haters out there. They want to, you know, say Christmas is a pagan holiday and all this stuff. And even one friend this week, referred to Wednesday as the useless day that he'll have off, that he's able to do whatever. Like, well, no, Wednesday is not a useless day. And we won't get into the history of Christmas, the history of secular Christmas, if you will. Surely there are probably some pagan origins and some stuff that in the beginning that we do not recognize or celebrate anymore. But that is not what Christmas is about. And so the reason that we celebrate is not for any pagan origins. Now, definitely more tempting today, Christmas is not about materialism. I believe we'd all agree with that. At least we would agree verbally, right? We'd at least say Christmas is not about materialism as we're at the mall spending hundreds of dollars. But Christmas is not about materialism, not about gift, not about what you get or what you give. It's not about the gifts. The true spirit of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas is not rooted in pagan origins. It's not rooted in material stuff. It's not even rooted in busyness. And some people just love the busyness that Christmas brings. They love the hustle and the bustle. They love going. They love traveling to grandma's house and uncle's house and friend's house across the country. And people just love going. And some of you hate going. You like to slow down. But even whether you love it or hate it, it almost always, Christmas inevitably brings us back to busyness, doesn't it? Definitely something that can rob and steal our joy and the true meaning of Christmas. And so Christmas is not about pagan origins. It's not about materialism. It's not about busyness. And one thing that unfortunately is a reality of Christmas in our culture today is it trivializes, it minimizes Jesus. It reduces Jesus down to a baby and to a manger scene. And so we're all familiar with manger scenes, but it's not about even just baby Jesus. But Christmas is about much, much more than that. There are many things Christmas is about. First and foremost, it's Jesus. It's about Christ. And so you can't have Christmas without Christ, right? Right? Y'all feed me this morning, else I'll go for 45 minutes, okay? Christmas is ultimately and primarily about Jesus. Not just about baby Jesus, as we'll see in just a second. It's about the coming of the Messiah, coming about Jesus, the incarnate God. It's also about family. It's good for our family to be together and to love one another and spend time with one another and to be with one another and hopefully even maybe share the gospel with some lost family. Some of you, the only time you see certain families is around Christmas. And so I encourage you this week, if you're traveling or family's coming in, as you see just cousins or crazy uncles that you just never see, maybe even intentionally, to take the opportunity to share Jesus with your family. Don't just gather for eggnog and turkey. Christmas is also about giving, as we'll see very clearly in just a moment. It's about giving. It's about not just giving of presents, it's giving of ourselves, giving to those in need. Christmas is about the holiday spirit. Now, I know some of you, holiday, oh my goodness. Someone didn't respond Merry Christmas this week, so I punched them in the face, right? But it's about this Christmas spirit and this holiday spirit that does unite people throughout this season. And also, Christmas is about punch. Did you know that? Christmas is about punch. In our house, my mom every year makes Christmas punch, and I just gorge myself on it, okay? I'm like a camel in the desert who found some water. And so you find the punch bowl, and that's where I'm going to be. That is on the menu at my, I know this is a little morbid, that's on the menu of my funeral, okay? When I die, y'all going to come, because we're going to have little weenies, we're going to have meatballs, and we're going to have punch. It's going to be a good time. And so figure since I'll be in heaven, at least y'all can enjoy some good food. But anyway, Christmas is about all kind of stuff. But I do want to present this morning three things that I'd like to emphasize that Christmas is truly about. So if you got your notes, if you got your handout there, I gave you three simple points. The first one this morning is that Christmas is about giving. Christmas is about giving. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. And I believe our men's group is almost in this text. Were we in 7 this week, guys? Who's here? Yeah, so actually whenever we resume men's group, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which all of you men are welcome to join us. But 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, if I could find that. There we go. It says, but, and so this whole chapter, Paul is talking about the generosity that he's received, and he's talking about how gracious this church is, and that he's talking to. In verse 7, he says, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in your love, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. If you have the NIV, it specifically says, see that you excel in this act of in the act of grace of giving also. And so Paul is commending this. He goes on verse 8, he says, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. He says, this is a sign. So this isn't necessarily a command, but this is to tell you that if you will do this, if you excel in the grace of giving, you will show how much you love other people. And so he's just talking ultimately about the giving to the church and supporting of the ministry and supporting the apostles and supporting the work that's going on in the early church. This still very much applies to us today, that Christmas is about giving. And everything we're going to talk about at Christmas, hopefully nothing we do at Christmas is limited to Christmas. Hopefully we're not just givers at Christmas. Hopefully we don't just talk about Jesus at Christmas. Hopefully we don't have just joy at Christmas. I mean, if the only time you use smiles at Christmas because Christmas music is on or lights are up, then you have a problem. Hopefully all year we're living these things out. But especially at Christmas is a time to emphasize certain things. And one of those is giving. And so we are to be givers. And so Paul, this principle that he's talking about to the early church about being gracious in giving and being good givers and being known as givers to prove our love applies to us today. He was referring to the church of how they are to treat their leaders, but we can equally apply this to us in the 21st century. The love that we profess to have is proven by how we give to others. We can say we love those around us. We can say, imagine this, imagine your house. Imagine, you tell your wife you love her and you love her and you love her, and then you don't get her a Christmas gift. Is that going to work out very well for you? Is it going to work out, guys, husbands? Some of you are like, oh, snap. I got 2 days, right? But in a very simple way, in very, very simplistic way, we see how even giving shows that we love. And we know that's not about the gift. And so, and he's not talking about just presents here. He's not even talking about presents at all. And for us, the giving is not about gifts. But we need to be people who love. We need to be people who show grace. And Paul says to do so to prove, so I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is genuine. And so the reason that we give to families, the reason that we help families and buy presents for families that mean nothing in the scope of eternity is to prove that we care for them and love them, want to meet some physical needs. There is a way to show love, and there are ways not to show love. There are ways even to give that are not rooted in love. Did you know that? Just because you buy someone a present does not mean it's rooted in love. And just three simple ways that examples of ways that are not rooted in love. One is selfishness. How many of you have ever given and your thought, whether you admit it or not, in the back of your head is, well, what do I get in return? If I give my friend a gift, then surely he's going to give me a gift, right? Or if I give, you know, my office gifts, they're going to give me gifts. And so there is definitely a tendency for selfishness to come in. What do I get in return? Also, there's the opportunity for pride to come in. Hey, look what I did. We bought all these gifts for these families, or we helped someone else at Christmas time, or, you know, I went above and beyond someone I don't even like to get them a present. Look how good I am because I gave something. And even sometimes we see it in the church. Look, I give money to the church. I contribute, I tithe, I bring my offerings. Look how good I am. So if we're not careful, there is a way to give that is not rooted in love, through selfishness, through pride, and even through judgment. And this may be the most difficult, because isn't it easy to say, well, I'm going to give if they deserve it. I'm going to give to someone if they've earned it. Meanwhile, I'm not going to give because they didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. And so then the love that is to be attached to giving is gone. Whenever selfishness or pride or judgment comes in, we no longer give for love. We give for selfishness, pride, and judgment. And so, but there are ways that we do show love through our giving. Love becomes three acts. If you want to jot these down, three reasons that we give. We don't give for selfishness, pride, or judgment. But three reasons we do give is this. First, giving can be an act of gratefulness. We give out of grateful hearts. We give because we have first and foremost been given to. And so we give out of gratefulness. We give out of love, as we've said. I mean, if love is not our motivating factor, if love is not it's not what fuels our giving, whether it's gifts at Christmas time, whether it's offering to the church, whether it's just good to someone throughout the week, whatever giving it is, if it's not accompanied by love and gratefulness, then it's out of a wrong spirit. And then thirdly, is it's an act of worship. That we give out as an act of worship. And we see this Christmas season, the wise men, right? How many wise men were there? Now, there we go. Good answer. I've taught you well. So we don't know how many wise men there were. There were three gifts, right? So how many wise men came and they presented gifts to Jesus out of love, out of gratefulness, ultimately out of worship. Because if you remember from last year, we dove through the Luke's account of the Christmas story. They have been looking for the Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years as this school of magi. And they realize he's here. And so they come bringing these expensive gifts out of worship. And so we can give out of worship to God. Regardless of even of anything else, we can give out of worship. So there are reasons to give. There are ways not to give. But just real quick before we go to the second point, there are three ways that we can give. Make it very practical this morning. We can give to God in this Christmas season. I'm always amazed at how blessed even the church is. Just this week alone, there have been just numerous gifts. I say numerous, out of quantity. Some very significant gifts from outside of the church that people want to give. And ultimately, those reasons are gifted because they want to give to the church. They want to give to the Lord through the church. We can give to God. We can give to others, and it's a very practical way. And if you haven't done this as a family, I encourage you to do this as a family, not just because it's Christmas, not just because it's the season of giving, but it is especially a time that we can think outside of ourselves, think outside of our own families, our own needs, but let us look for ways to give to other people, whether it's this family that we're helping, whether it's through work, whether, you know, I don't have an opportunity, so I'm just going to go buy some stuff, or I'm going to wrap it up, or I'm just going to find some person you know, who just looks like they need a gift. It ain't hard to find someone who could use some encouragement and use some love. And so let's look for ways that we can give. We can give to God. We can give to others, especially those in need. And I think it's also a great time that we can give to missions. We can give to the going of the gospel. As we talked a while ago with Lottie Moon, it is a perfect opportunity to say, no, God has blessed me this year. How can I give that I want to give to missions and to the furthering of the gospel? That we have thousands of men and women who are laying down their lives to go, and we can be a part of them. So the service, Christmas, is about giving, and that's what most people think Christmas is about solely. It's about giving. But however, we will find that Christmas is more than just giving. It is also about receiving. So the second point there is that Christmas is about receiving. Now, some of you selfish people are like, yes, it's about receiving. Give me something. But don't we know as the church and as Christians, it's not about receiving, right? It's all about giving and not receiving. Don't we know that? Well, you're wrong. Christmas is about receiving as well, not receiving gifts. Because after all, as someone said, it's not your birthday, right? And someone asked a guy, said, "Are you were you disappointed? Or did you enjoy what you got for Christmas?" He said, "Well, not really, but it's not my birthday anyway." And so it's not about the gifts that we get. What a Family Circus. Remember that cartoon, The Family Circus? Remember that? Some of you, Ron does at least. Well, Family Circus, Billy, this is, I think, from last year. He burst through the door after all the Christmas presents had been unwrapped and shouted, "I just thought of some things that Santa forgot. How many days until my birthday?" And so it's easy to think of Christmas time as, you know, what am I going to receive? What am I going to get? But the fact that Christmas is about receiving has nothing to do with the material things that we get called gifts. I want to turn our attention to Isaiah. Let's go old school, Old Testament. Can you find Isaiah in your Bible? Kind of go to the middle, hang right. It's one of the longest books in the Bible, so it shouldn't be too hard to find. Isaiah chapter 9. Christmas is about giving, but also Christmas is about receiving. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I got a good book and form a liar. For to us a child is born. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who is he born to? Who is Jesus given to? To us. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. The greatest gift of all. And we know this, at least in our minds we know and we can say and we can profess that Jesus is the greatest gift. But we need to remember that Christmas is a time of receiving. That we receive the greatest gift of all time, which is the person of Jesus. Later named Maria Arminia said this. She said, "Christmas is the time of year that we remember God gave the gift of His Son because we needed Him, not because we asked for Him." Think about that. Our greatest gift is not come from what we want it, but from what we need it. Think about that even in as you do Christmas and celebrate Christmas last night. And this happens if you have kids, if you ever open gifts around kids, even you adults, we're all like this, right? Sometimes you get like a big gift bag. I mean, go there with me in your mind. Okay, you get a gift bag. You take something. Hey, great. It's a pocket square or whatever it is. No, a handkerchief. And you start taking out wrapping paper. Like, is there something else in here? Y'all been there? Don't lie, okay? You know, you've been there. Or you open a gift and like, man, what else is in there? So yesterday we were doing Christmas presents with our family and one of the cousins. He was opening something up and he got it. Hey, what else is in there? But the thing about Christmas is that Jesus is the gift. There's nothing else needed. There's nothing else we need to complete what we need other than Jesus. There's nothing else. There's no other family we need. There's no other loved one we need. There's no stuff we need. There's no holiday we need. There's no more food we need. We need nothing outside of Jesus. He is the gift. You can stop looking. And sometimes we have this tendency that we receive Jesus as a gift and we want more. There is nothing more. Jesus is the gift. And Christmas is about receiving that gift. The gift of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. And I fully believe the best gifts in life are things that you need. But here is the problem. I mean, think about that. Even like last year, I know many of you probably haven't opened Christmas presents. You know, last night I got a Christmas present from my mom, dear grandma right there. I got some really cool camo boots, like rain boots. You know, it's probably one of those things I probably won't go out there and go buy myself, but I needed some boots. And so, like, I put them on. They're just so comfortable, and I'm loving them. I need these things, and I'm already thinking of how I'm going to use them. And so, but I probably wouldn't ask it. I didn't ask my mom for boots, but I needed those. And that's just a silly example, silly illustration of the things that we need are not even the things that we want or the things that we ask for. And this is the problem with us today, and we see this in the Bible, we see this with the people of Israel, is that we don't need Jesus. And that's the problem. We don't need Jesus, and so we don't want Jesus. We don't feel like He's the gift that we need at Christmas. We don't feel that He's the gift that we need in January or February or any time, because we don't feel that we have a need for Him, because we have it all together. We have food in our refrigerator. We have power. Some of you have power. The Bokers don't have power this weekend. The Dickersons don't have power. But we don't need Jesus because we have it all together. And the same thing was true of the Israelites. They didn't need Jesus because they had the law. They had everything they needed. They didn't need the Messiah. So when He showed up, they rejected Him. In the same way, we reject Christ because we feel that we do not need Him. But oh, how we do need Him. As I was typing this up, Abby was in my lap, and she saw that sentence. She said that we don't need Jesus. She's like, what? We don't need Jesus? I said, wait, baby, here's the second sentence. But oh, how we do need Him. We are broken people, and we are hopeless. The only thing worse than being broken is being hopeless, having no hope that anything is going to solve us and resolve us and fix us. But we need more than a baby in a manger to help us. We need more than a baby in a manger to heal our brokenness and to fix our sin problem. The birth of Jesus was not enough. The birth of Jesus was not enough. And the last thing is this. Not only is Christmas about giving, not only is Christmas about receiving, but Christmas, thirdly, is about believing. It is about believing. That we must believe, and this is kind of lengthy, we must believe that Jesus came to the earth, lived a perfect life, died an atoning death, resurrected from the dead, and will come again. That is what we believe. And that's what we have to believe. And that's what Christmas is about. It's not about just believing that indeed Jesus did come to this earth and was born in a manger, because honestly, it doesn't take faith to believe that. It doesn't take faith to believe that Jesus actually was born and came into this world. We have to believe more than He was just a baby in the manger all those years ago, that He was the Messiah. Interesting thing about the Messiah, you wouldn't believe this. Actually, in this year, there was, let me just kind of read you a little thing here. In a very unusual court case from Tennessee in 2013, a judge ruled that a seven-month-old boy cannot be named Messiah. So in Tennessee, of all places, they're going to want to name him Messiah. And so the judge says, you can't do that. And the unmarried parents were battling over the child's last name, but got quite a surprise when the child support magistrate, somebody's name, in Newport, ordered his first name to be changed from Messiah to Martin. Big difference there, Messiah and Martin. She declared that Messiah was a religious title earned by one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome, magistrate? We need more leaders like that in our government. The judge noted that the name was not in this child's best interest. Go to school with the name Messiah. That's not going to work out well for you. But another court thought differently, and her verdict was overturned. But check this out. This is what I can't even process this. According to the Social Security Administration's annual list of popular names, the Messiah ranks fourth among the fastest rising baby names, and over 800 American babies received that name last year. Isn't that crazy? Now, I'm sorry if you're here and like on your list of names to name your future baby is Messiah. If that's you, you're wrong, okay? Do not name your child Messiah. Brandy is expecting. Do not name your child Messiah, okay? We have problems at family dinners. Because that name is reserved for one person. The name meant the anointed one. The people of Israel knew the Messiah as the one to come who would be the person of God who would deliver Israel from their state and make them right with God. The Messiah, the one that was to come. And we know the Messiah now was and is Jesus Christ. And we have to believe that he wasn't just a baby in a manger, but we have to believe that he was and is the Messiah. As we wrap up, you can go to the book of John. I'm gonna give you two specific references, but you can just go to the whole book of John. If you ever want to talk about belief, I know I think I've said this to you before. I pulled on Don Miller. Most of you don't know who Don Miller is, but he's known for if he wants to know something in the Bible, he doesn't search on the internet. He reads through it and circles it. He can tell you how many times "the" is in the Bible because he read through it last year and circled "the." I'm just kidding. Ended with "the." I read through John a couple of years ago, and I believe, this is based on me, but I believe there's 79 times in the book of John is where believe show up. So when it comes to believing, the book of John is the authoritative source. And you can just flip that, I've circled them all, and you can look at this after the service. It's just all over the place about those who believe in God, believe in Jesus, and believe in Him. Not believing in anything else, but believing in Jesus. It says in John 3, so whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And so two verses real quick, and we'll wrap it up. 6:47, chapter 6, verse 47 says this. It says, this is Jesus talking, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Whoever believes has eternal life. In John 3:16, which we sometimes even discredit for some crazy reason because we've heard it all of our life. We think, well, because we've heard it all of our life, it must be wrong. But it's not wrong. It's just well known. You know why it's well known? Because it is so right and it's so good. I don't know why I turned there, because we all know it, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, we're not going to unpack the word belief and what it means and all that entails with that, but to simply put this, we have to believe more than Jesus was a baby in the manger. We have to believe that he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God, that he came to die for our sins. He overcame death, and he's coming back. And he did for us what we never could do for ourselves. And that is the gospel. And that is what we believe in. And that is what makes us right with God. And so what is Christmas about? It is about giving to others. It is about receiving Jesus, and it's about believing in the Messiah. It's about believing in the gospel. This is what Christmas is all about. And so the question is, do we have the Christmas spirit? Do we believe that? We believe that Christmas is about giving. We believe Christmas is about receiving Jesus. We believe about Christmas is about the full coming of Jesus and the return of Jesus. And if you do, I pray that you press that into your children this week. I pray that you press that into your crazy uncles at dinner this week. I pray that you press it into the cashier at Walmart this week. I pray that you make Jesus known this week. That's what Christmas is all about. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the patience of our children here, Lord. And thank you, God, that that we can make much of you and your Son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Jesus, that he's far more than a baby who came, a baby that was born. But Father, that he was and is your Son, and that he is God. And he took on our flesh and dwelt among us and lived a perfect life and died a heinous death and rose and is coming back. So may we celebrate him this week. Can we make much of him this week? May we not be distracted by the other stuff that Christmas is not about. Because of Jesus, can we give this week? Because of Jesus, can we give selflessly to others? Can we give to missions? Can we give to you? Can we just let go? In order, there is a person in this room who has never received your Son as a Lord and Savior. Could this morning be that morning? Could they receive the greatest gift they ever will by putting their hope and their trust and their belief in Christ? As we worship, Lord, may we just worship you, our King. In your name we pray. Amen.